people of the saints of the Most High, his kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion will serve and obey him. So we always sing it, and we say that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdom of our God and of his Christ and of his saints. So we will be part of his reign and his glorious kingdom, which we will see as we go through the study. And we also have in Revelation 1 and 11, which you will see into the chapters, and Revelation 1 to 14, talking again, showing of Jesus Christ as king and having dominion as king. So the question is, who is a king? From our study of the Bible and history of nations and kingdoms, as a king, like we have a scripture in Samuel 19 that show verse 9 to 11 that shows how David, after Absalom died, how the people came back to restore him as king. And so it just showing from those histories and scriptures, we see who a king really is. But through the study, we see in one, a sovereign ruler who rules over a domain. So the word kingdom consists of two parts, king and domain. Therefore, a king is nothing if he has no domain. For example, Prince Charles of England is only a prince. He has no domain to rule over. He has no domain to rule over because his mother, Queen Elizabeth, is the reigning queen. Queen Elizabeth II, is the reigning queen. Besides, by British kingdom etiquette, he has messed up by divorcing his first wife, Diana, and only his children can lay claim to the throne. So what it's showing us is that for you to rule as a king, you must have a domain to rule over. And so they brought in the study the example of Prince Charles. He couldn't be a king because there's certain order and certain policies that have to be in place for you to have that responsibility as a king or to the throne, right? So that's one, two, a legal authority who has wide powers to take critical decisions which have impact on the lives of citizens of a kingdom. So somebody who is in that authority have to be able to make crucial decisions, right? And so things that will, you know, impact the lives of the citizens. So that is why St. Paul admonishes us to pray for kings and men in authority because they are in a crucial position, right, with lives under them. And so in 1 Timothy chapter 2 from verse 1 to 3, the apostle said, I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. He wrote that in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and from verse 1 to 3. You see, it's a crucial position. So he said that we as saints should pray for them, that they would make proper decisions, right? A proper king must be duly anointed. He must be properly crowned by the priests. That man the altars of the kingdom and a council of elders or kingmakers. And that is what we saw earlier when we read the scripture in Daniel. We see that he saw in the vision where people were manning the altar and bowing before God. And even in Revelation, we didn't read Revelation yet, but that's what you will find in the book of Revelation, where you have the elders bowing down and worshiping and manning the altar. So he said, it has to be man. It has to be where the elders, the council of elders, or the kingmakers, you know, those that are there, are special people that are for this purpose, right? He must be, a king must be surrounded by a council of duly recognized and honorable elders. He must be established on the throne that is supported by a valid altar. Right? This is what some of the studies that our sister was doing last night. You have to be able to man the altar so that the throne can be established properly. And that's why the apostle said, you have to, as saints of God, pray for those in authority and pray for kings so that they can make right decision. He must be esteemed and held on high. This is the honor of the king, by his council of elders and the citizens of his domain. He has to be held highly. He has to be esteemed highly. He must be served by all in his kingdom and ministered to by special or designated court officials or officers. He must be announced by the relevant officers of the state. For example, the princess, the of the land, the praise singers. Yeah, we saw that with David, the minstrels, worshippers, protocol officers, etc. Right? In Revelation chapter 4 and verse 2-6, read, "And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald, and round about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal, and in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind." So you can see how the king is esteemed in high honor by the council of elders, right? Those that surround him. In several scriptures, Jesus Christ, our Lord, Redeemer and Friend, is referred to as a Lord and King. In Psalms 24, 7-10, he is called the King of Glory, the scripture we read earlier. As you pray for your nation, you must learn to make this declaration daily. Lift up your heads, O ye gates of the nations and cities, and let the King of Glory come in. In Psalms 210 verse 12, he is referred to as the anointed King and Lord, to whom all the kings of the earth must bow down and serve. He said, "Be wise now, therefore," in Psalms 210-12. "Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him." So he's telling the kings of this world, be wise, be instructed, and serve the Lord. You kings of the earth, you men of this earth, serve the Lord. In the book of Revelation, Jesus is clearly portrayed as the King of kings and the Lord of lords. In Revelation 1, 5-11, Jesus Christ is described as the faithful witness throughout the ages, the firstborn from the dead, the prince or ruler over the kings of the earth, the one who loved us and washed us with his blood, the one who has made us kings and priests unto the living God, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the Almighty, the one who was, who is, and who is to come. In Revelation 1:8 declares thus, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, said the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. See, in his kingdom there is no end. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer, is our soon coming King. Okay, now we're asking the question, who is our Lord? We looked at the scriptures that show Jesus as King. And we can also read Revelation. Before we go into who is Lord, to climax with who is King, we can look at Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5 to 11. Right, I'm just going to read it before I go into who is Lord. Right? Chapter 5. It says, I'll read 1 first and then I'll read 5. Right? From verse 5 to verse 11, it says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who always loves us and who has once for all freed us or washed us from our sins by his own blood, and formed us into a kingdom as his subjects, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion forever and ever. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. And all the tribes, the nations of the earth, will mourn over him, realizing their sin and guilt, and anticipating the coming wrath. So it is to be. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord God, who is existing forever, and who was continually existing in the past, and who is to come, the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the ruler of all. I, John, your brother and companion in tribulation, which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos, exiled there, because of my preaching regarding eternal salvation and the testimony of Jesus Christ, was in the Spirit, in special communication with the Holy Spirit, and empowered to receive and record the revelation from Jesus Christ on the Lord's day. And I heard behind me a loud voice, like the sound of a trumpet, saying, write on a scroll what you see in this revelation and send it to the seven churches. So what we are seeing there is that the Lord, what we saw is the Lord revealed to John his position, as we saw earlier, as his faithful witness, as his the one who have washed us and has made us kings and priests unto God, the Almighty, the one who is and who is to come. And then because we are given that scripture in chapter 5, I'm just going to quickly read it from verse 1. He continues, I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written on the inside and on the back, closed and sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel announcing with a loud voice, who is worthy, having the authority and virtue to open the scroll, to break the seal, sorry. And they sang, no, I think I okay. Verses 3. Question is asked, who is worthy to open the seal? In verse 3. And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look into it. And I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. Then one of the, Then one of the 24 elders said to me, stop weeping. Look closely. The lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome and conquered. He can open the scroll and break its seven seals. And there between the throne with the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing, bearing scars and wounds, as though it had been slain, with seven horns, complete power, and with seven eyes, complete knowledge, which are the seven spirits of God who have been sent on duty into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll from the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one beholding a harp and a golden bowl full of fragrant incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song of glorious redemption, saying, worthy and deserving are you to take the scroll and to break its seals, for you were slain, and with your blood you purchased people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom of royal subjects and priests to our God, and they will reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, and the voice of the living creatures and the elders, and they numbered myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, innumerable, saying in a loud voice, worthy and deserving is the Lamb that was slain. Every now and then I have to wait my throat. Sorry. You know, I've been challenged with my voice for the past days, but God is faithful. This is so interesting to see our Lord, who was sacrificed, who was slain, was the only one who was able to open the book and break the seals. And thank God he has made us also worthy with him to be priests and kings to God. And as they sang with a loud voice, saying, worthy and deserving is the Lamb that was sacrificed to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature, every created thing that is in heaven or in earth or under the earth, on the sea, and everything that is in them, saying together, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And the four living creatures kept saying, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped him who lived forever and ever. So this is our King. And the question that was asked, who is the King? The Lord God Almighty, our Lord, our Lamb that was slain, is worthy to be the King of Kings and is the King of Kings. And so we are looking now at who is a Lord. A Lord is a person who has authority over others. For example, we have in England, Spain, Japan, and other places where monarchies still exist. The appellation Lord is a title of honor used for high officials and state. But in our context, we must use it to refer to our Lord Jesus Christ, who is supreme Lord over all human lords. Unlike other earthly kings, as we see in the scriptures, every other had to bow to him. Every other kingdom has to bow to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is the supreme Lord over all human lords. Right? Our Lord Jesus does not lord himself over his subjects in a despotic way. Right? He is our Lord who gave his life for his subjects, for his sheep. And today we crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He is our Lord. Okay? Now the other question is, what does it mean to crown someone or something? A crown is a headpiece or headdress of gold and jewels worn by kings and queens, right? On ceremonial occasions, to crown a person means, one, to put a royal headdress upon the head of this person who is legally chosen to or accepted by royal birth to be king. So that's how they crown them, right? So they invest with power, this crown, that they it's a sign of their authority. To reward or honor someone's effort in recognition of his or her great achievements. So we also see people being crowned when they become, you know, achieve some honor of or position, and they crown them. So they also to reward or honor someone's effort in recognition to his or her great achievements, to complete or neatly round up or wrapped up a project. So you say that crown it. That's it. To be the topmost part of something, example the crown of the heel or head, right? Etc. You know, like sometimes we say from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. So this is also termed as a crown, right? It can be a headpiece that is placed on the head, or you can crown something that is a head, like from the crown of your head or the heel, the top of a heel. Or if you finish a project, you say, that's it, that crowns it, that's it. It's finished, it's complete, right? Also, we asking the question now, after realizing what does it mean to crown someone or something, we're asking the question now, why are we commanded to crown Jesus, King of Kings and Lord of Lords? Right? We saw that in Revelation 5, right? I think we could just run back just to 6 verses in Revelation chapter 5. He said, I saw in the right hand of him. Well, I mean, I don't have to go back and read it. We remember it said there was nobody else that was worthy to open the book and the seal. And so he was the only one because he paid the price, right? He was worthy and able to do that, right? So that is the reason why we are commanded to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus Christ, the righteous and the only begotten Son of God, the pattern for the kings of the earth, the Prince of Peace, as we saw in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, that tells us, unto us a child is born, a son is given, and the government shall be on his, upon his shoulder. He shall be called the Prince, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, etc. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of the earth. Remember John said that in John 1, 29 to 30. He also is the only propitiation for sin and the ransom for all sinners. That's why we can crown him, or we are commanded to crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. There is no other like him. His precious blood was the full payment for sin. He did not merely cover the sins of men like the Old Testament sacrifices. His blood washed away and completely removed forever the power of death and the curse on mankind. He completely, removed it by the shedding of his precious blood. The express image of the Father in Hebrews 1, 2, 14, 2 to 4, at the beginning of Hebrews 1, we see where he's called the express image of God's person. He's also called the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep in St. John chapter 10, from verse 11 to 14. The discerner of the intents of the hearts of men. He also is the discerner of the intents of the hearts of men. I mean, there is just none like him. That's why we are commanded to crown him King of Kings, our great high priest. We see that in the book of Hebrews, all over Hebrews, you see him as our great high priest. Hebrews chapter 4 from verse 14. And Hebrews also chapter 5 from verse 11. The full expression of the love of God, right? The inexplicable definition of God's heart of compassion. There is nobody that has shown such compassion like the King of Kings, right? To Joshua, he described himself as the captain of the Lord of hosts. And he said, nay, in Joshua chapter 5, he said, chapter 5 and verse 14, he said, nay, but as captain of the host, of the Lord, am I now come? And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship him and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Hallelujah. In Revelation 5 to 7, we read the same scripture we just read. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The one whose big feet are going around the world, conquering and to conquer. Remember, he was able to open the seal because he has conquered. Hallelujah. Daniel described him as the Ancient of Days. That's why we read, in Daniel chapter 7, you can read it in your spare time. The prophet Isaiah described him specifically, stressing his roles. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, I quoted it a while ago, he said, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. This is what the prophet Isaiah prophesied concerning the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. There will be no end to his kingdom, to his reign. He is worthy of all reign. Jesus Christ alone is the one ruler who can bring peace to any situation, whether we are faced with financial difficulties, a life of struggle, the most difficult circumstances, the most ruthless enemy, or the deepest pain. None of these troubles is beyond Christ's power to handle. He can bring peace to our troubled heart. He can bring peace to your mind. No other person can give peace like Jesus. That is why we must crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. John the Baptist describes him as the Prince of the Kings of the Earth in Revelation 1. John the Beloved, when he described him in Revelation, he described him as the Prince of the Kings of the Earth in Revelation 1. Right? In the book of Jude, we see in verse 24 to 25, the only one who is able to keep us from stumbling, from falling, and to present us faultless before the presence of the Father. He's the only one who is able to do that. This description of Jesus reminds us that while we strive for the faith, that's in Jude, the battle belongs to the Lord. He is able to keep us from stumbling and falling. To him be glory in the church forever. Hallelujah. Let this truth sink into our hearts today and stabilize our faith, right, as we intercede for our nation. He is the only true and righteous King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he's the one that is able to keep us. So we give all honor to him, all glory to him. And so we ask the question, who can crown him? God the Father has already crowned him with a matchless name. In the book of Philippians chapter 2, from verse 9 to 11, he said, wherefore God also have highly exalted him, hallelujah, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Men and women on earth can crown him when they have a life-changing encounter with him. Hallelujah. These are the people that can crown him. The Father have already crowned him after he obeyed the Father and became that great sacrifice. Hallelujah. Being obedient even unto death. Bible said the Father have highly exalted him and have given him a name that is above every name, that at that name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess him as Lord. And men and women, we ask who else the Father crown him, but who else can crown him? We say men and women on earth can crown him when they have a life-changing encounter with him. Also, wailing women worldwide have a paramount duty to crown him with their very lives. If nobody else is doing it, we are commanded to do it with our very lives. We must crown him in everything we do because we know who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We give him that high honor. We esteem him and give him that honor with our lives. You know, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, from verse 1 to 6, the Bible tells us when Isaiah, right, He said in the year King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, that's those cherubims, and said, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. As they cried, holy, holy is the Lord. The host, the Lord of hosts, the whole earth is full of his glory. The Bible said the post of the door moved at the voice of them. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Isaiah said, then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. See, when he saw the glory of this of the king, he said, for my eyes have seen the king, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. Hallelujah. He recognized the holiness of God. He saw how God, how the Lord was esteemed highly. He recognized his unworthiness before a great and holy king. Even Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was forced to acknowledge the Lord as the God of gods, the revealer of secrets, in Daniel chapter 2, from verse 44 to 47. After the three Hebrew men were thrown into the fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar recognized Jesus as the fourth man in the furnace. The three Hebrew boys crowned him by the sacrifice in Daniel chapter 3, from verse 24 to 25. David also crowned him as King of Kings, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. Saul called him Lord when he had his first life-changing encounter on the way to Damascus. In Acts chapter 9, from verse 5 and 6, and he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. See, like Paul, we can learn to crown him by asking to know him more and serving him. Only those who have a life-changing encounter with the Lord Jesus can crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You know what is so good about those that have a life-changing encounter with him? It is better to bow and call him Lord and King now than not having an encounter with him and in the end have to confess him as Lord when he comes as a judge. Why is it important to crown him King over our lives and Lord over our fears? Because whether we believe it or not, Christ Jesus is coming back again to this world. He is not coming as a lamb. He is coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the conqueror. He's coming as the judge of all the earth. He's coming with thousands of saints and warriors, hosts to fight against the kings of the earth and the armies of the Antichrist marshaled against his kingdom. In June 1:15, he said to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. So that's why I'm saying, if nobody else understands how to crown the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, we should understand, because he is not coming back as gentle Jesus in as a baby in a manger, but he's coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the mighty conqueror. A description of those who do not crown the Lord by their lifestyle. We're just looking at a description of those who don't. People who practice sexual immorality. We are still in the book of Jude. People who practice sexual immorality aren't to go after what the Bible calls strange flesh, like lesbians and homosexuals. These will suffer the vengeance of eternal damnation in hellfire if they refuse to repent and turn to God for mercy. And that is according to Jude 7:8. Dreamers, verse 8, who defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignities. People who by their evil actions become spots in the love feasts of Christian believers, because they feast without the fear of the Lord, serving only themselves. People who are clouds without water, carried about by winds. Spiritually barren and unfruitful people who are like autumn trees without fruits, twice dead, pulled up by the roots. And you know that is how Brother Jude expressed it. That's a description of those who do not crown the Lord, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, by their lifestyle. Continue to say, people who are like the raging waves in the book of Jude, raging waves of the sea, forming up their own shame. They that are like wandering stars, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Grumblers, complainers, who are walking according to their own lusts. They speak great swelling words, insincere people who flatter others to gain advantage. And you get that in verse 16 of Jude. Mockers who walk after their own ungodly lusts, sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the spirit of the living God. So this is a description of those who do not crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords by their lifestyle. What are the practical ways in which we can crown him in our daily lives as believers? By worshiping him in spirit and in truth, according to John 4:23. The Lord said he's seeking for people to worship him in spirit and in truth. By recognizing him as the Messiah. These are practical ways we can crown him with our lifestyle daily. By appropriating the full provision of the covenant of salvation, redemption and restoration that was secured by the transaction of Calvary. You know, when we accept the fact that he took upon him our sins, our shame, and he transferred to us his righteousness, his gift of righteousness. Hallelujah. Bible says he who knew no sin became sin that we will become the righteousness of God. So in our, when we accept it, when we accept the full provision that was made for our redemption and for our restoration that was secured by him, we actually crown in him with our lives. By living our lives in total obedience to his word and submission to his will, by contending for the faith that again is in Jude, by contending for the faith that was once delivered to us, the Bible urges us to contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. That's something we got to fight for. We can't let it go. We can't let it slip from us. We crown him king by setting the captives free through evangelism and soul harvest, backed up by the serious spiritual warfare. Remember, in this world today, there's all kind of theologies and all kind of ideologies that are just corrupting the minds of even the young people. So we're going to take serious warfare, praying and interceding for souls as we go out there to minister to them. That's a way of crowning our Lord. We crown him by taking over our cities for God and reconciling everything in creation to Christ Jesus. That's why, you know, I'm really grateful for all the training we are getting, how to influence or be influenced in our nation, in our communities, even in our homes. Because the King of Kings will be crowned by our lifestyle and by the things that we do. Right? We crown him by mobilizing creation to worship the only true and living God. You know, that's why I said we can be of great influence to the world as we adore him, as we exalt him by the things that we do, by the things that we say, by the way we behave. You know, that's why I can't help it when I'm sharing, you know, with the sessions that we have on Fridays, the importance of understanding who we represent and where our starting point starts. You know, this is a form of crowning him, man. When we deny the self, the flesh, and we give way to the spirit and just, you know, if we, even though we have to suffer, be partakers of his suffering, but we are crowning him by giving our love, our kindness, our patience to this world of ungodliness, showing the difference, making the difference, so that our Lord can be crowned, because he is the King. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I can't remember how much time I have or I had, but anyway, I'm going to just stop. I trust God that we have received from this study the encouragement of not just acknowledging the fact through the scriptures of who he is as King and as Lord and being able to crown him, but also realizing the importance of a practical lifestyle that can crown him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, Sister Marsha? Hello?
Yes, Pastor John.
Oh, you are the host?
Yes.
Sorry.
You were opening for questions at this time or comments or whatever?
Whatever, yes.
Okay. So we have a large audience tonight, so I expect a lot of questions to flow to Pastor John and also some
even comments. So we what you get from the study. I'd like to know that.
Okay.
Oh.
Well, it was well said, well done. Very good, my sister. Very explanation.
Amen. Thank you. I don't know, something just come up on my screen and I cannot really see the face. it's some blocks on the screen, but anyway. Praise God. Amen. Oh, Sister Teresa.
Pastor Joan.
Yes, my dear.
This is Sherri-Ann Lane from Barbados.
Yes, Sherri.
Yes, I like how you explained the kingship and the lordship of Jesus Christ and how we can crown him in our daily lives, the different things that we do and say, and having that relationship with him, how we can crown him, show that he's Lord of our lives.
Hallelujah. So
thank you very much for your presentation. God bless.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. Okay. According to Sister Mona, there is a big audience. So if you have anything else, any question, anything you didn't clearly understand, any comments, feel free. That's what we are there for. We want to be edified, and we want the sessions to give us more fire, more power. We want to be so hot that the devil can't touch us, you know. So hot that the devil afraid us because we're too hot for him. So that's what the studies and every training and everything is meant to put us on fire to represent him in this world of darkness, in this world of so much confusion in the minds of people concerning the way of God. Any comment, any question, anything you want to be clear about? If not, we're gonna, as I said, I wasn't sure how much time we have. So I just want you to be free, because we want to give God, we want to crown him with some worship tonight, yeah? If Amen. That's okay.
Amen. Pastor John, I like what Cherri-Ann Lane said. Listening to you tonight, Pastor John, every time we pray or just give God worship, we say, Lord, you are the King of Kings. You are the Lord of Lords. That's who we know he is. Mm-hmm. But we as believers, we try our best to please him. But I never see the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords being portrayed. You know, like you said, our lifestyle is supposed to bring out the King of Kings. It's supposed to bring up the Lord of Lords. And I admire that so much. It broadened my mind so much. Yes, it's true, Lord, you are King. You are Lord of Lords. You are the soon coming King. But you know, that is so important to go in line with what we say. And it really, really enlightened me tonight. I just love the way you put things together and it made it so simple. That is a blessing.
Amen. Because the world cannot crown him by their lifestyle. They do not. Yeah? Because if you look at the kind of lifestyle as Jude, the book of Jude, the Apostle Jude explained and expressed, you know, it's really ungodly. The ungodliness and the ungodly behaviors with all these, you know, homosexual behaviors and all lesbianism and all these things. But we who have an encounter with him, like the Apostle Paul, we can say, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Because we recognize his lordship. So now the transformation that takes place, remember after the Apostle Paul got that encounter, the brother was so transformed, and the brother was ready to die, you know. Remember when he was going to it was Rome? When they and in Ephesus, when he went there to, when he was talking to the brethren in Ephesus, and they was telling him what awaits him and all these troubles that will come, he said, none of these things don't move me, because I don't even conquer my life dear to myself, that I may fulfill the purpose, the ministry that you have called me for. His concern was what What is it, Lord? What does the Lord want? And that is why I tell us, yes, the flesh like to be pampered. Yes, the flesh want all kind of stuff. But let us look at the real big picture of our Lord. Remember, you remember what crowned him as king in Revelation? What make him worthy to open the book? What even made him worthy? By Father that gave him the name which was up, what that exalted him and gave him a name that was above all name. It was the suffering that he took. The Bible said he became obedient even unto death. He didn't even care about his life. He cared about us. In return, we care about crowning him. We want his name to be glorified. We want his life to be seen through us. And he'll take care of the rest. Anyway, let me give place to... I want to start preaching. Let's give place to any comments and any question. But even before you come on, you know, one of the things that really blesses me in the study is that he's not only crowned as king, Lord of Lords and King of Kings, but he has made us partakers of this kingship. You know, this is so awesome. Can you imagine we not deserving any good thing? Born in sin, shaped in iniquity, the man didn't only take our place on the cross, who knew no sin and became sin for us. The man actually brought us into that royalty, you know. Brought us into that royalty. He called us a royal priesthood. I mean, this is so awesome. Since I don't know how you just look at things, but I'm telling you, it's awesome. It's awesome just to be part of the kingdom and to be part of the king. He even called us kings, priests and kings. He said, you have made us kings unto Father. So much he made us royal in the presence of Father God. And you know, one of the ways that we can crown him is to fully accept what he has given unto us. He has placed us as kings unto Father. Ah, this is too awesome. Anyway, I give it to you. Hallelujah. Just unmute your mic and just talk to me. Or if not, Sister Mona, you have to time me. Tell me when you're ready to pray, how much time we have. Anybody have anything to say? Just unmute your mic and feel free to say. Just talk.
When I see him as king, I don't just see him as the King of Kings, but I see myself preparing him a throne in my life, in my heart, so that, you know, I'm not just living by his grace, but I'm allowing him to live in me and transform me. And that way I become what he wants me to be. And so when I go before him for worship, even though he has made me a king and a priest, I'm not too big to bow before him as this king. I forget what he has made me. I thank him for that. But I
Hallelujah.
Bow before him and give him that honor and that glory and that praise, because not for what he did, I could not have been, because, you know, he left his home in glory and he went before all those authorities and they did so many things to him and he said nothing. So when I'm going through stuff, I'm like, yes, you did it, and now I am doing my part because you did it for me before, and now this manifestation is showing me that this is what you did, and it was hard for you, a king, to go through, but you did it for me. And now I, whatever is going through in my life, I am saying thank you because you have done it. So, and you're working because you're feeling my infirmities. And so I'm happy to go through and enjoy this for you because you did it for me. And I'm thankful to be in the presence of this king.
So you crown him as king. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm listening.
Anything else is a song. Oh, God. I just worship him.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's just worship him. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the name of the Lord, who is worthy of all praise and adore. So we lift our voice in praise unto you, Lord. And we say, blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can unmute your mic and just let us with one voice give him praise. We adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We adore you, Lord. We didn't deserve such honor that you alone deserved. But you wanted us to be a part of your glory. You wanted us to be a part
of your glory. Oh, you are worthy, God.
You are worthy. Oh, blessed be the name of God. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Glory to your name.
Glory.